Welcome back, everyone. My name is Sagar, and you are listening to Road to Revamp. We are in the third season of our podcast series, and today, as our guest, we have with us a personal trainer. He was excelling in his craft and was making lots of money. He was satisfied and happy with what he was doing. Then, he decided to push the limits of his physical potential and decided to participate in Ironman, an event which would change his life forever. Let's welcome Mukul Nagpal and let's learn what is the secret recipe of becoming an Ironman.
So Mukul, welcome to Road to Revamp.
Thank you.
And I'm so honored to have you here. I really wanted to take your podcast last year, but as you know, I'm a pretty lazy person. So I would like you to start with your introduction, how you started into fitness industry, or was it your passion forever?
So, as you know, my name is Mukul Nagpal.
Yeah.
The first thing to start out. And if I say, for me, I was always a very athletic kid. So I remember, like, in the afternoon, there everybody was sleeping, but I was still playing, maybe alone, and that's why you can see the tan. And it's like, you'll see me more on the school playground rather than on the classroom. I was a good student as well, but still I loved the playground more. And the thing was, I used to be in athletics, you know, at the time of school, you try and play every sport.
Right.
So I started playing badminton and I kind of stuck to badminton. I really enjoyed playing badminton. And I played badminton at the All India level. And there comes a time, especially when you're last year of school, you have to see what's your next career going to be. And me being from a business family, I have to really decide, do I need to be a CA or do I need to do something else that can help in my business? But what I realized was, like, fitness was my passion. And at the time, even if I was in school, but I was still giving tips to other people. Okay, this is how you can run faster, you can jump higher, and this is you can, how you can work on your diet and all. So what I realized was, at the end, it was more about helping people. Helping people in terms of their health and fitness was giving me more satisfaction. Then I thought, okay, maybe I want to be a fitness professional. Then I was checking out, and being from a smaller city like Ludhiana, there, that time fitness professional means a bodybuilder with a local gym who is like eating chicken the whole day and is full of steroids. So when I used to share this with my friends and my family, nobody took me seriously. It's like, why do you wanna, be a badmash? Why do you wanna be a gym trainer and all? So whomever I went to for guidance in terms, criticized me only because they say this is nothing. You don't have the genes to be that big of a bodybuilder and all. So why do you wanna do it? But I was like, no, I'll find some way or the other. And I went to one of the best gyms in Ludhiana. And I could see people doing aerobics there. And this was the first time in my life I saw aerobics in life. I've seen some TV shows like Jane Fonda and all, but never seen a live aerobic class. And I was like, I want to do this. So I went to the owner of the gym and he was like, okay, if you are passionate about it, I'll teach you, but you'll have to work for me. And I was very doubtful. Why work? I'm just in my, I've just cleared my school and I want to enjoy my life. And like, what will you do even if you learn? If you don't practice, it's going to be a waste. Yeah, that's the point. So I like, okay, I'll work for you after this. But like, but first ask your parents because you're from a business family, if they agree. So I went back to my parents and they were like, yeah, instead of you roaming around in the evening, we'll appreciate if you can work. So this is how my fitness, like my journey started. So I started working part-time as an aerobic instructor for them, and which involved like I have to take an aerobic class plus I have to train people in terms of the making gym. Them do their body, but just like a gym workout and all. And during my last year of graduation, and I was preparing for my MBA CAT entrance examination, and it was like I realized MBA was more of, because even if I had done an MBA, I would have still entered in fitness industry after doing my MBA. So MBA was just a shield to protect myself from the criticism that the people were giving me in terms of why do you want to be in the fitness industry.
Right.
And I got a good CAT score. My CAT score was 95.6.
Wow.
So I was getting a good call from the top 10 B schools of India. But that time, again, the question which was coming on my mind is, why I want to waste my 2 years and then come back into the same industry.
Right.
And then like, okay, let me, but again, because I was using it as a shield, so I convinced my parents because I wanted to do the American Council of Exercise Personal Trainer certification. So I told them I want to go to Delhi. I'll be getting better coaching for my MBA, plus I'll do my fitness certification at the same time. And they were like, okay. And now they still tell me that you made a fool out of us. So I came to Delhi, I started studying, and I really liked the atmosphere of Delhi compared to Ludhiana, because I could see here people are more understanding in terms of, if you give them some knowledge, they are ready to accept it. Not everyone, but still a big percentage is ready to accept it. So I started staying in Delhi only, even after my certification. And the things were going on, it was, I think initially for the 3-4 years, it was a big struggle. And every time I used to go home, my parents used to try to convince me to come back and join family business, but like I was never came to their hands. And so this is how the journey started. Mm-hmm. It was basically, I think the good thing that I did was I read a book called The Success Principles from Jack Canfield.
Okay.
And he suggested a thing, do something what you can do for free and you can still earn money out of it. So I realized fitness is the profession where I can do it for free for people,
right,
and I can still earn some money out of it. And I think I made a very good decision that day.
Yeah. Books can change a lot of things.
Good books can change a lot of things.
Obviously.
It's all about what gets stuck to your head.
That's true. So, like you started as a personal trainer or?
So first of all, as I told you, I started as an aerobic instructor and a gym, like a floor
in Delhi
trainer.
After doing
this. Okay. So when I came to Delhi, I started working as a floor trainer.
Uh-huh.
And then because I was able to do my certification, then I was promoted to a personal trainer.
Okay.
Then I joined fitness first and then I was like a permanent personal trainer.
Okay. So how do you think one can become a better personal trainer? Like you work for Fitness First, then you work for a personal training studio, Sumaya.
Yeah.
And then now you're freelancing. Mm-hmm. So how to become a better personal trainer? Because success, you know, it can vary from various reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, how can a budding personal trainer or a budding passionate person who wants to become a trainer should approach personal training?
I think the biggest thing about if you want to get into the fitness profession is you should be totally passionate about helping others, not just about your own fitness. Because if you're just working on your own fitness, it can be a hobby.
Right.
And nowadays, people realize that there's good money in the profession, so maybe we can join the profession. But at the end, you'll face a lot of ups and downs. But if you're totally passionate about helping people, that will be your biggest reason to stick to the industry. Because I've seen a lot of people join the fitness industry, and I think fitness industry has the biggest dropout rate in terms of people leaving the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Because the reason for joining the industry was them not helping others.
Right.
So first thing is you should be passionate about helping people achieve their health and fitness goals. And in terms of if you want to, for that obviously you have to money. And I love making money to make an impact in other people's life.
Right.
So what I'll suggest is, first is work on the foundation. Do at least a basic certification. What I say is because that really helps in getting you know about the anatomy.
Right.
Because there are very few people who are from the science background who are into the fitness industry.
Yes.
So for the other people who are not from a non-science background, understanding of anatomy is the biggest thing. That's why it's always a first chapter in any fitness manual you take. The first thing, as in, you have to have good, strong anatomy, biomechanics, physiology, kinesiology, and all these things. And the other part is, if I just talk about the ACE manual, because I love the ACE manual, the last few chapters are about business, how to build your business.
Right.
Because what I believe is, you should do a good job and make sure people know about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because like you, it's about reaching out to more people.
Yeah.
So you're doing a good job. So the world needs you. Especially in this world, because where we see a lot of Instagram bodies.
Yeah.
People spreading anything in name of fitness. I think it's job of our fitness, like we are the fitness professionals and we have to take the industry forward. It's our job to spread the right information. So it's very important to spread some information on social media, because that's the best way of marketing at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about, if you give your client good result, show your testimonial.
Right.
Show some knowledge. What is the right knowledge you have? Because there will be people saying, okay, this supplement does this and this.
Yeah.
I tried it, he tried it, and we got amazing result. But mm-hmm. we got to know, what does the supplement do?
Mm-hmm.
Is it like useful for everyone? Does it have any restriction? Does it work on pregnant women or older people? So for that, you need to have a good knowledge of that subject as well. So spread good knowledge, help people with the aim of just helping them, and I believe the money will follow. I think maybe it won't follow in the first 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, but eventually the money will follow.
Right. So don't work for money.
Don't work for money.
It will come.
It will come. It's like if you run after money, it'll run, it'll make you run. But if you don't run after money, it'll run after you.
It's. I think it's true in every case.
Every case. You can ask any successful person, I think they'll tell you that.
Yeah, even I concede this thing. I never tried to make money.
Mm.
And less I tried, more clients.
Exactly.
I got. And sometimes, you know, you don't have enough time to take more clients.
Yes.
So, yeah, agree with this thing. You have turned your personal training business hugely into online training business.
Yeah.
So how was that transition and why you took this decision?
So basically what was happening was, even when I was working as a personal trainer, there were a lot of my friends and family members. I was living in Delhi, but my friends are living in Ludhiana. Some of my cousins are living in the US.
Mm-hmm.
They started asking me about diet tips, workout tips and all. And they were like, give us some good workouts so that they can help us get the result. And as a passionate person I am, I was always willing to help.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to email them their workouts, the nutrition they need to follow and all. And they were getting good results. But the problem that we were facing was, I was not able to figure out if they are following the workout properly.
Right.
And the biggest problem that used to come was, I used to tell them a particular exercise.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very difficult for them to understand how to do that exercise.
Right.
Then I have to go all over the internet, find a good, like the best video for them how to do the exercise and all. But again, the accountability lacks because of just on the email.
Mm-hmm.
So I was looking for a better solution to that. And I think it was in 2016 when I went to Asia Fitness Convention, and there was, I still remember, there was a guy who made an application by GoStats, and I was going for some other session. I don't know, one of my friends pulled me like, this session is something about technology and fitness.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go. Okay, let's go. Let's give it a try. And that day was one of the bad decisions. But when I was sitting in the classroom, I was like, okay, this is the solution that I was looking for. Because he had an application that trainers can rent out for according to their client per month.
Mm.
And that was in the database, you get all the exercises.
Mm-hmm.
So you can pick exercises from the database. You can give nutrition in that. Plus you can, the clients have the application on their own phone as well. So they have to, it's being more about being honest. So if they check into the application that we've done this workout and we've done squats with 20 kilos or 30 kilos and 30 repetition and this get tracked in the workout. So like, this makes a lot of sense. This is something that I was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So after the convention, I came back, I started looking for as many applications I could that can help me serve the purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how I made an application for me. So the thing was, it really helped me transform my online, just helping people, to an online training business. So
mm-hmm.
I was able to train people through that. And because what I believe is, everybody doesn't get a good coach. Plus, because if you see, there are good coaches in Delhi, but they are not willing to go to Gurgaon.
Yeah.
And if somebody is attached to do and they are really interested and they are like, they believe in your ideology, they won't be able to work out with anyone else.
Right.
So this is what matters. And if you're able to give good knowledge and accountability, this is what people need. So with the online training business, I realized world is the market.
Yeah.
You just don't have to train people in Delhi and all. And as you say, because we people don't have enough time to train enough people.
Yes.
And one of my biggest goals in life, to help, to empower at least 10 million people in terms of their health and fitness goals.
Wow.
So one day I realized, well, if I'm just training one-on-one, I can't reach that goal ever in my life. Okay, I must have trained total 2,000 people in my life, but my goal is 10 million. That's a big number. So I realized through online, it's like I don't have to go anywhere. It's just through the power of the internet, I can train anyone anywhere in the world.
Right.
So this really struck me, and I started working more on my online training business. And so far, going good.
Nice. Because it is something which rare fitness experts are doing in this country.
Mm.
So having a system, what you are trying to say is...
Having a system is what exactly works. Otherwise, your trainee won't be able to understand what you are trying to say.
Mm-hmm. And I think at the same time, online training is way more cheaper than personal training.
Plus, yeah.
And almost as effective as a personal training session.
Because at the end, what I've seen is everybody has a different learning capability.
Mm-hmm.
So if you try and teach somebody squats, okay, a coach, what I've seen is, will show them how to do a squat once and they try and fix it. But I've seen some people are learning by watching the same thing over and over and over again.
Right.
So even with online training, if I give them a video of me doing a proper squat, mm-hmm, with the verbal clues, they can watch it over and over and over again. And they can realize, okay, this is how to do a proper squat. So that's also the biggest advantage of online training. And as you said, the cost gets cheaper because if I train people for an hour, my number of hours get concise because of online training.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, they have the freedom of doing workout anywhere, any place, and anytime.
Right.
Because we've seen if we do training people one-on-one, there are a lot of clashes because of the time.
Right.
Everybody has a different lifestyle and everybody can't commit to you like 8 a.m. on Monday, right, every Monday, Wednesday or Friday. So with the power of the online training, if they're free at 9 p.m., they can train on your own at 9 p.m.
Yeah.
So we're giving them the freedom to help themselves.
Lots of flexibility. For trainers and trainees both.
Both, yeah. I agree. Because other part that I enjoy, even when I'm traveling,
mm-hmm,
my clients are working on because of the application.
So that's the best thing I like. Like when I'm sleeping, even then I'm earning money.
Exactly. And I'm reaching out to more people.
Yeah, that's something which is... like I'm being more... What should I say? I'm being more blunt about my opinion that I'm earning money. Yeah, that's true. Like most of my clients who are doing this personal online training, they are from different cities,
mm-hmm,
and they, like you said, the accountability thing. I don't use any application so far, mm-hmm, but yeah, that's true. Like these people are way more motivated than, mm-hmm, those people whom I train offline,
mm-hmm,
and their reciprocation is way more.
Mm-hmm.
Like they send regular videos and everything. I think they are way more accountable than offline people.
And I think online training works with people who are self-motivated.
Yeah.
Only those people will be able to work out through the system.
Yes, that's true. And now let's come to your another passion, which is this Ironman.
Mm, yes.
So, how did you come to know about Ironman and why this extreme thing attracts you?
I think the first thing that I can remember about Ironman is, again, I was a kid, I think I was in my school,
mm-hmm,
and I used to watch the motivational videos on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
There came a video of Tim Hoyt. So there was a father who was doing an Ironman,
mm-hmm,
with his kid who was suffering from cerebral palsy.
Okay.
So that video really touched me. And in the video, the introduction they give is like, the kid says, "Father, will you run a marathon with me?" He say, "Yes." "Will you do this with me?" He say, "Yes." And he say, "Father, will you do an Ironman with me?" He says, "Yes." And they describe, if you don't know, Ironman is one of the toughest one-day endurance race in the world, which consists of 3.8 kilometers swimming, 180 kilometers cycling, and 42 full marathon.
Yeah.
And that day, it was the word, because one of the toughest endurance race in the world, stuck in my head. And especially that video, I was really motivated watching those videos. So I knew maybe someday down the line, I want to push myself for that. I love challenges. For me, fitness, okay, I enjoy being fit. I like my fitness, but I will only push myself to the next level if I have a bigger challenge in front of me, if I have a goal. So it's like but I never used to run because all of us fitness professionals believe you lose your muscle mass if you start running.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
Biggest bullshit. And yeah. So I was more into weight training or because all the people that I was taking guidance from, they were saying these things only. And because I used to play badminton, I had to run a lot. I had to be good stamina and endurance for that. But in the fitness industry, I missed that thing somehow. So I remember I used to see some of my fitness professionals, the rare of them who runs. Mm-hmm. I'll start running someday. And I'll always lose my precious muscle mass. But one day, I just went for the 6-kilometer event at Airtel Delhi Half Marathon. They had the fun run.
Yes, yes.
So, and it was too crowded and I finished it pretty easily. And I think half marathon is my next target. Mm-hmm. So next year, I registered for the half marathon and finished the half marathon. And after the half marathon, I'm like, okay, I need to do a full marathon now. Okay. So I still hadn't run the full marathon that time. Mm-hmm. But and that time I just started working on my own. So I left the last organization I was working in. Mm-hmm. And I was really inclined because with Milind Soman doing the Ironman was in talks a lot.
Right.
So I think in India, people still know Ironman because Milind Soman did it. So that time I was like, oh my God, this thing is coming back to me. And I have to do it now somehow. So when I left my last organization, I was like, I have to do it now, no matter what. This is the time and I can easily do it. So let's start working for it. But the funniest part was I never swam in my life. So I didn't know how to swim. So and you know what? Sometimes things automatically come to you instead of you going towards the thing. So I somehow came in contact with Saurav Agarwal, who is the founder of Fitso.
Mm-hmm.
And Fitso is training a lot of people for Ironman and all these swimming and running thing. So I just came to contact with him and he told me he's a running group and he's going to start coaching for Ironman. I was like, let me know when you start coaching for Ironman. And this is when the batch started, I enrolled for it and started training for Ironman. And the reason why I'm doing it is, again, first thing is I want to make myself believe and anyone believe that anything is possible.
Mm-hmm.
A guy who's from a small city can still do an Ironman if he wants to. And again, like you're not alone. Even I was a very lazy bum. Mm-hmm. And the people who know from my past know how lazy I can be. Mm-hmm. So somebody who was that lazy can do an Ironman. So anybody can do an Ironman. And anybody can do what they put their mind on to. So this was the reason I wanted to do an Ironman triathlon.
So how, I mean, an Ironman competition looks like when someone enters, how it feels during during the training.
Mm-hmm.
And as I just listened one podcast with a world Ironman champion.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy was telling how he used to train twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
And how they used to save time between the events, like they just finished running and they have to grab their bicycle.
Yeah.
So how this mindset thing works, what actually goes on in your mind at that time when you are doing the preparation and during the run?
Basically, all again, the biggest thing is what's your reason behind doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So as I told you, my reason was I want to prove people that anything is possible.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe anyone from Ludhiana has done an Ironman yet.
Okay.
And the other thing is, as you say, about training. So when I started training, I got to know that you hit around 20-22 hours of training a week, which I realized were like roughly 3 hours a day and I can do it. But when you start training, you realize there are a lot of transitions.
Yeah.
Because I don't just have to swim every day. I have to go to the pool. Then either I have to go to the park to run or have to cycle or I have to go to the gym to do my core training or my strength training. So those 20 to 22 hours are not just 20-22.
Yeah.
They are like 10 to 12 hours of extra transition time which is involved.
Yeah.
So it's like a part-time job.
Hmm.
And I had to hold a lot of things in my life because of crew just to complete an Ironman. Because I think, so what I've done is I train my trainees till 2 p.m.
Hmm.
And after that, I just work on my own training.
Right.
So I work from 7 to 2. And after that, I was just training on my own. And the other part about training is it gets very hard at times. As you're sitting on a bicycle for 4 to 5 hours. And sometimes it gets very boring as what to do now and why are you doing it. But again, the thing is, it gives you a different high. And like you get good high from mountaineering. For us, yeah. It's more endurance sport. So when I run, I think run gives me so many better ideas that I can't come up with when I'm working. It's like meditation for me.
Wow.
So I'm running, I'm coming up with more ideas. Okay, try this, let's do this, let's do this, even while cycling.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't happen when I'm swimming, because swimming is still my weakest part, but I still learned a lot of it, and I'm confident I'll complete my finish leg of the Ironman triathlon.
Wow. But still, you just finished this Ladakh full marathon, actually. Okay, sorry, not half marathon, full marathon. I actually registered for half, but I couldn't go. And you did it barefoot.
Yeah.
So, what was actually going on into your mind while you were running? Like, I know the reason you did barefoot running,
mm-hmm.
because the animals who suffered during Kerala flood.
Mm-hmm.
But when you were, your feet were hurting,
mm-hmm.
and some blood or maybe some, pebbles coming into your way, and you told me that roads were really bad. And at that altitude, 3,500 meter.
Yeah.
What the hell was going in your mind during the run?
It's like, there's a book called Born to Run.
Yeah.
And I was very impressed by the book, especially about reading about the tribe.
Yeah.
They run barefoot and they are the best ultra runners in the world.
Yeah.
So I wanted to try barefoot running from a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I'm a dog lover. So mm-hmm. I take care of a lot of strays. One of my stray dogs' paws was slightly cracked.
Mm-hmm.
I was just looking at her, and suddenly she ran. I'm like, if they can run barefoot with cracked paws, so what's wrong with our human ideology? Because if you read the book, according to that, more injuries started happening after the invention of a running shoe.
Yeah.
Instead of curbing the injuries, the running shoe is giving us more injuries. Yes. And even I've gone through some injuries in the past because of over running.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to try barefoot running, but was never able to didn't have the courage to go forward to do it. And what happened was, and the same thought came to me while I was running.
Mm-hmm.
So I think on the 14th of August, Kerala was hit by floods. So and it's like, okay, a lot of property is damaged, a lot of life is damaged, but I still could see there are a lot of human was still getting the attention, but the animals were missing.
Yeah.
And because I worked as a volunteer for an NGO for a dog shelter, so I could see some videos of animals suffering, how, because it's like survival instinct. If a family has a pet, they wanted to save their life first rather than saving their pet. So they left their pet at their home in the room or on the terrace. So those videos were very disturbing for me. I wanted to, and I know the organization which was working towards the rehabilitation and rescuing of those animals.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to do something for them. So I got in touch with them. I was like, okay, what all do you need? They say, it's like at this time we need this medicine, we need to build more shelter, we need this food for animals and all, which requires a lot of money. I'm like, okay, I'll help you raise some money for that.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea came that I'll run like the animals in Ladakh, because I already registered for the marathon. I like run like them, let me feel their pain, and I want to raise money for them.
Okay.
And while I was running, and the only thing was, this was only my fifth barefoot run.
Mm-hmm.
Because so, from 14th August till my 9th of September, I couldn't manage just four long barefoot runs. So I took a big risk for myself.
Yeah,
but at the end, I knew it's all about the mind. If your mind wants to do something, you can do it. And when I was running, I think the first 17 kilometers were pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
So the road was still good. It was a good quality road. But after the 17 kilometer, we entered the village area of the mm-hmm. race. And then the road was very bad. But like, it wasn't hard for me to walk on that road.
Right.
I had to literally stop, see what's the best part for me to keep my feet there.
Oh.
But the good part was, because people were appreciating me that I'm doing a barefoot run at this altitude and at this condition, that even fueled me. And I think roughly about 27, 28 kilometer, I was very tired and my feet were burning. They were in pain.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why am I doing it?
Yes.
And again, the answer that came to mind, I'm doing it for the animals. I have to do it for them. Mm-hmm. I can't leave it like this. So I started running again and the road started getting more rougher.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is too painful. Again, the idea was like, what to do? And I'm like, I'm already suffering a lot.
Uh-huh.
And just like the animals in Kerala, already suffering a lot. They need some help. And I'm already suffering. I'm already in pain. The pain, if I just go through it, the pain will be like 20% more. So if I'm taking 80%, what's the problem with the last 20%? Let's finish it. And somehow I finished the raid. I was glad I finished it.
So let the suffering help you grow.
Suffering helps you grow. And if you're suffering for a reason, I think that gives you the power. Mm. I believe I was getting good blessings from the animals and power from the people who were supporting me. Because I can say that run was not easy. It was a very challenging
run. Not at all. Like, I have only run one half marathon in my life. 2014 Airtel Delhi half marathon.
Okay.
And it was the most terrible experience I ever had. Because I never practiced a single run.
Okay.
And I directly
went
ran
half
into
marathon.
Yeah. And I finished in... I mean, surprisingly, I just finished in 2 hours 31 minutes.
Oh, not bad.
So, the later part. So I just finished it.
Mm.
And for next 7 days, I was in the bed. My feet were swollen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I had feet at that time.
Oh, I know that feeling.
Yeah. So after that, I didn't run at all.
Okay.
More than 5 kilometers ever. So I can easily understand how hard it could be. But we try to do barefoot training here.
Mm-hmm.
I never wear any shoes during my training.
Mm-hmm.
I only wear these sandals, like zero sandals,
mm-hmm.
on the road.
Okay.
So most of the time, I'm very close to barefoot.
Mm-hmm.
But this thought of, running a full marathon in barefoot, still, it's a haunting, it's a haunting. I think maybe in future,
mm-hmm.
I will ever try by... from your guidance and motivation. But right now, I cannot even imagine someone can do this. And definitely, if there is some motivation, like you're doing things for a cause,
mm-hmm.
it gives you a different high.
It gives you a different high.
Yeah.
So this was only my second marathon,
mm-hmm.
second full marathon.
Yeah.
And I could tell, I was very nervous before the race if I'll be able to finish it. Even though I've done a full marathon, because of my training for the Ironman triathlon, I have to do a lot of long distance. I was still nervous if I'll be able to finish it.
So, if someone wants to try without any purpose, actually,
mm-hmm.
They want to start running barefoot, and if they have the goal to run like 10 kilometers or
mm-hmm.
a half marathon or a full marathon barefoot, what are the beginning steps to enter into such kind of...
I think the first thing what I'll suggest everyone who wants to get into barefoot running is, again, it has a progression.
Mm-hmm.
So because we're used to wearing shoes with a good heel support, and so which is quite a lot. So don't straight away go to barefoot running.
Mm.
First, look for a shoe which has less cushioning.
Right.
And which is Nike has their 3.0s mm-hmm. and all. First, go to them. And then they can try barefoot shoes like Vibram Five Fingers.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they're comfortable with those, then only start barefoot running.
Okay.
Because it's again a lot of stress for your Achilles tendon.
Mm-hmm.
Because from a big cushioning level, you're giving it zero cushioning. That's a big stress for them. And again, the layer of your skin is again not used to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So if you straight away from wearing socks and cushioned shoes, go to barefoot running, you will get to getting a lot of blisters,
mm-hmm.
and which won't help you, which won't encourage you to run barefoot only. So again, the transition needs to be slow.
It's more like progressive overload in strength training.
Exactly. So the same thing is the progression for barefoot running.
So slowly?
Slowly. And even the distance needs to go slow.
Yeah. Initially, start with only 1 or 2
yeah,
kilometers.
Yeah, initially start with just 1 or 2 kilometers. I was doing it for a cause, but I went through a lot of pain.
Yeah, I can easily see that on your face and in your feet.
Yeah. When I finished the race, my finishing picture is like this.
So, these days a lot of fitness enthusiasts, they're taking up running.
Mm.
So, do you suggest the way running culture is growing,
mm-hmm.
people don't go into proper training? There are very few running coaches in this city and in this country,
mm.
and people are just running straight away, they want to lose some fat, so they just take up running.
Mm-hmm.
They want to look good, they are running, mm-hmm. or if some relative is running, so I'm also running, and everyone just sign up for half marathon.
Yeah.
So do you think this approach is in any way healthy and can serve any purpose?
See, I think, I believe everything has its pros and cons.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if you read the book Born to Run, yeah. he says, in America, the running industry blossomed when there was a Great Depression.
Mm-hmm.
So people need some outlet
right.
to right. take out their frustration, their emotion and all. Mm-hmm. And I believe, again, in a city like Delhi, the running culture has gone huge suddenly.
Yes.
So that's good that people are getting encouraged to run somehow. And there's a big running communities and all.
Yeah.
Because of that, they're not just running for a day or two. They run, they have fun. So the people have something to look forward to.
Yes.
Maybe they start with, okay, we'll start running. And at the end, we have the fun part. So we'll stick for that. So this is how they're getting into running.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing is the training part, which is the con part. Yeah. Like as you did a half marathon straight away
yes.
without a training. That's very dangerous. That's like the injury chances are so high and
yes.
it's like something that can daunt you for the rest of your life.
Right.
So training for that is very important.
Mm-hmm.
Like till half marathon, if you say you need at least 6 months for a beginner mm-hmm. to train, to reach up to that level. That's what I'm saying is a minimum amount of time that's required to train for a half marathon. Because what I believe is the power of the mind is so strong. You can finish the race on that day. But it's the consequence that happens
yeah.
after you finish the race, because this is where you're exactly going to suffer.
Yeah.
And you don't want to injure yourself in such a way that you can't run in the rest of your life.
Yeah, those aftermath can stay till the whole life.
Yeah.
Because I see that experience was so horrible, I couldn't even have the courage to run
exactly,
another kilometer.
You get a mental block from that.
Yeah.
So you want to enjoy your run rather than make it as a mental block.
So, the whole idea is to take running as any skill.
Mm-hmm.
So, take up slowly, learn from a coach.
Yeah.
And then start doing experimentation.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So, we are almost getting into the final leg of our conversation. I would like to know about your future plans. Are you thinking about doing full Ironmans, like there is this competition I recently know about in Hawaii. They do some
Kona World Championship.
Yeah, some crazy Ironman championship. They do some ultra marathoning also. They do in that.
Yes.
Yeah. So, are you having plans to compete in such events?
So at the moment, I'm really enjoying my training for a triathlon.
Mm-hmm.
So it's mostly people say when you finish your first Ironman. You get such a high that you get hooked onto the sport
yes.
and you register for the next one straight away. So I still have my Ironman in November.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe after doing that race, I'll get to know. Because at the moment, I think I'll need a break for a month after doing an Ironman triathlon. Because
yeah.
I've been killing my body for the last 1.5 years.
Right.
So I'll enjoy that break. And in terms of my fitness career, yes, I'll like to train more and more trainers. Because what I believe is if I'm able to impart good knowledge to more fitness professionals,
mm-hmm.
they will be able to give the knowledge to others. And that way, I can easily achieve my goal of empowering 10 million people in the world.
Yeah, because if you train a trainer, he can reach to a lot of people.
That's the multiplier effect.
So, do you have any plan to start a running group? Or like now you have great knowledge about Ironman. So, very few coaches in this country are teaching Ironman. So, do you have any plan to teach?
Yeah, like I'm really interested in doing the Ironman coach certification once I finish my Ironman.
Mm-hmm.
So, maybe in the future, if I do one or two more Ironmans
mm-hmm.
and I complete my certification and practice those things on me first,
mm-hmm.
I like to train some people who will be interested in doing an Ironman.
Okay, that's the great idea. And at last, what would be your closing comment for Road to Revamp listeners? And in general, what do you want to suggest to people by and large?
So, what I'll like to suggest to you people is that always believe in the power of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
You never know how powerful your mind is. And that's the strongest muscle you need to have rather than your thighs or your biceps.
Mm-hmm.
So believe in the power of the mind. You can do anything you want to do and you are set to you. Like, you are in this life to do something. You have a purpose. Find that purpose and do anything and everything you can do to achieve that purpose. And I think the biggest thing out of that purpose is to help somebody else other than you.
Wow. So, like, that song in Hindi movie, Tum Be Sahara Ho, Tu Kisi Ka Sahara Bano. So, it was a great conversation with you, Mukul. And I would like to say this closing comment. You have to have that kind of mindset if you trying to help people, because it's not easy and you have to get out of your shell. And I'm getting that vibe from you that I have to get out of my shell to reach more people.
No.
I'll definitely try to do that. Not try, I'll do that.
Remove the word try.
I will do that. And thanks again for being on my podcast.
Thank you for having me here.
Thanks, Mukul.
That was Abhishek in conversation with Mukul. Stay tuned as we have a lot of amazing episodes lined up for you in this season. Check out our website for more such content, which is www.roadtorevamp.com. I'll see you next time. Till then, keep watching this space. My name is Sagar and you are listening to Road to Revamp.